second hymn we sang this morning, We Walk by Faith, has in its third verse the words that we didn't sing. I'd like you to hear those words now. Help then, O Lord, our unbelief, and may our faith abound to call on you when you are near and seek where you are found. That's an amazing shift here. Help then, O Lord, our unbelief, and may our faith abound. These words that are in this hymn today speak to our reading from the Gospel of John about faith, about belief, about Thomas. We're used to hearing this passage. We hear it every year on the Sunday after Easter. We hear it and we hear about Thomas the doubter or doubting Thomases. And it is true in the past that Thomas has gotten sometimes a bad rap for being a doubter. Today we're going to look at Thomas's response and at our experience and call to faith. And I want to start with another passage from another gospel, from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 28, verse 17, where it says, in one of the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus, it says, when they, the disciples, saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. They worshipped him, but some doubted. That's an amazing, almost contradiction here, isn't it? The idea that they worshipped him, yet some doubted, and yet it's not. If you look at the meaning of the word that is being translated doubted here, the word from Greek is distazo. And distazo means doubt, yes, but it means to think or suppose or suspect that something may not be true or may be too good to be true. To think or suppose or suspect that what you're seeing, what you're experiencing, what you're encountering is actually too good to be true. It's an awe response, an amazed response. How can this possibly be? It's a doubt, yes. It's a questioning, yes. But it's not one that stands in the way of worship. It's an amazement at what you're seeing and experiencing, but not one that stands in the way of worship. Yes, you come with questions. Yes, you come with doubts. But you come nevertheless open and receptive to what you're seeing, what you're experiencing. And that's what the disciples were doing. They were being encountered by Christ Jesus, the risen Lord, the one whom they had followed, the one whom they knew had been crucified on a cross and died and was buried and now raised from the dead. And they approached him and worshiped him, and yet at the same time inside they were struggling with getting their brains around what it is they were seeing and experiencing. This is the kind of doubt that, my friends, we all have and all should have. A willingness to be open to the experience. A willingness to be open to the mysterious. A willingness to be open to the presence of God in the encounter with Christ. A willingness to ask questions and to be open to what God is saying to us, and to be open here and here to what God may be giving and expressing to us. This kind of doubt is one that I would pray we all would have as we approach the things of God, as we approach the Holy Scriptures, as we approach the table of the Lord. I would pray that we would approach with this kind of doubt. Now let's take a look at what Thomas experienced. The word here is usually translated doubt. Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put your hand in my side. Do not doubt, Thomas, but believe." And here, he doesn't use the word distazo. Jesus uses a different word. In fact, he uses a play on the words that Thomas himself used when he said, "Unless I see and put my hand and my finger, I will not believe. I will not exercise faith. I will not pistuo," which is the Greek word. "I will not exercise faith. My belief will not be active. Unless I can see, unless I can touch, unless I can put my finger in, I will not believe." And Jesus' response is to take that statement, "I will not believe," and says, "Do not be unfaithing, but faith." The Greek word for faith is pistis. And when you put A in front of it, the alpha symbol, if you put A in front of any Greek word, it reverses its meaning. If you put it in front of a noun, it reverses its substance. If you put it in front of a verb, it reverses its motion. If you put it in front of an adjective or an adverb, it reverses its implication in its usage. And here we have it as an adjective. Don't be faithless. Don't be unfaithing. Don't be a faithless person, Thomas. Instead, be faithful. Be faithing. Believing and acting. Be a person of faith, not disfaith, not unfaith. When you put that A, apistis, when you put that A in front of the Greek word for faith, you get a reversal of focus. Here, not passive unwillingness, but an active unwillingness to believe. And Jesus said, "Not that any longer. See, experience, and faith." Honestly, we all move between these two concepts of doubting with awe and respect and amazement and an inability to get our brains around it. We are encountering the mystery and we accept it even though we have questions, all the way over to, if I can't understand it and experience it, I will not respond with faith. These two almost extremes, if you will, exist within our Christian experience, exist within our Christian living. The challenge is to go, as Thomas went, from a refusal to accept and believe and be faithful, to a willingness to proclaim, "My Lord and my God." A willingness to go from disfaith to faith. A willingness to go from a denial to the greatest affirmation there is, "My Lord and my God." Now, most of us orbit somewhere in that zone between the two. I know I do. There are times when I realize that if I did not have true faith in what I'm doing, in what I'm proclaiming, in what I'm saying, in what I am expressing to you here and now, I wouldn't be doing it. I approach the table of the Lord for Holy Communion. If I didn't believe, truly believe with my heart and my soul that Jesus is really present here, if I thought that it was an empty ritual, dead and lacking in meaning, lacking in touching me and touching you, lacking in bringing the grace of Jesus Christ to us here today, if I believed that it was simply an empty ritual, I wouldn't do it. But I know, because I've experienced walking forward, standing behind that table, with my arms uplifted and praying the great thanksgiving and knowing that here in our midst today, among us as sisters and brothers in Christ, in this family of faith, here today on the table before us and within our midst here, here in our faith and our hearts, in our lips, in our minds, here in the sacrament, we are in the presence, the real presence, the abiding presence, the transforming presence of the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I know that to be true. Now, I know that to be true and can proclaim with Thomas, my Lord and my God, and live with pistis, with faith. But still, there is in me an awe and a wonder and a doubting series of questions that have me saying, how can it be that Jesus is really present? It's a mystery that I accept in awe and wonder, not disbelieving, but questioning still, experiencing, yes, receiving absolutely, and proclaiming, and yet wondering how. Thomas went from disfaith to faith. Thomas went from non-faith, a refusal to believe, a refusal to act upon it, to faith, proclaiming, my Lord and my God. At the same time, not inconsistent with that proclamation, is the wonderment, the wondering, the mysterious how. And yet receiving and knowing and experiencing in here the reality of the faith. I know it's true. I experience it so. The scripture proclaims it. Our traditions express it. Our liturgy calls us to proclaim it, that Christ is present here. Of course, that doesn't mean that I'm sometimes not impacted with the disfaith of others. I have placed, for years now, communion videos on YouTube. And it's a fascinating medium because people can post their own remarks, their own opinions, their own questions about what you've put up there. Some of them are really nice, like, oh, that was lovely. And some of them are just nasty, like, ugh. And I had one a week ago that wasn't very nice. It came from a fella with the screen name of Jesus, with a Z, Jesus Slave. Jesus Slave. And he writes to me, who gave you the right and permission to wear priest vestments using Catholic form of liturgy and interpreting the Bible? You are a heretic, and this is for sure blasphemy, and you will go to hell. I exchanged some responses with him, and he said, God is offended by receiving him on dirty hands. You are not ordained. It is blasphemy what you are doing there. Jesus isn't really present in that. I wrote him back a response. I said I would pray for him. I said that I would pray that God's grace would move through him and mold him and change him and transform him to be a better representative of the Church of Jesus Christ of which he is a member. And I said to him, as honestly as I could, it's not about what he thinks. It's not about what I think. It's about what God thinks and what God does. And I know for a fact, because I've seen it in my life, and I've seen it in the lives of my people for 20 years of ministry, that Jesus is really present here with no question about it. I have experienced Christ's presence. My people have. It is not blasphemy. And then I said to him, I pray you will be in the future a better representative of your church. And I haven't heard from him since. That is, however, what the delete button is for, I suppose. Nevertheless, it's those kinds of words, Those kinds of judgmental phrases that kind of ping on you and make you wonder, well, is it true? Is it real? Do I truly have faith? My experience tells me yes. My reading of Scripture tells me yes. My understanding of the traditions of the church tell me yes. What I see in the lives of my people tells me yes. What we're doing here is not an act or a show or a play. It is worship. And what we're doing here is coming to be fed and fueled to go out those doors and to serve a broken and hurting world with the gospel of Jesus Christ by welcoming all into the family of faith, by welcoming all into the relationship with Christ Jesus, opening the door to everyone so that those whom God has called might come and be a part of the family of faith. May God truly move you today. Even with questions and doubts and wonderings of how it can be true, may God truly move you today. From apistis to pistis, from disfaith to faith, through the table of the Lord, into a life of grace, peace, a life of the gospel lived today. One of the last things I said to that fellow was, I know many Roman Catholic priests and laity who I'm honored to call my sisters and brothers in Christ, who I know pray for me and I pray for them, who I know that what we're doing here is not play acting, but the worship of Christ Almighty, and that I will pray for you. That is what we're about here. That is what St. Stephen is about. Worshiping the Lord our God and serving the children of God wherever we meet them and welcoming them in to the family of faith. Be moved today from disfaith to faith and through the questioning doubts and wonderment to receiving the experience in worshiping the risen Lord again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2011 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.